us in worship today. Woo! Man, I got fired up. I may not have much preaching voice left. You should lose your voice at church. You know what I'm saying? Lose your voice at church. Today's Baptism Sunday. As Pastor Matt already said, if you're a guest with us here today, welcome to Genesis Metro. You picked a good day to come. We're going to celebrate today. We're going to see life change happen right before our very eyes. At Genesis Metro, we measure success. How do we know if we're doing a good job? When we see life change in response to God's word. And I got to tell you, as a pastor here and on staff, we hear stories of life change all the time. We get messages, emails, we get to have coffee with people and just hear what God is doing in their lives. And it is so awesome. But we also know that not everybody gets to hear all those stories. Well, today is a little bit different. On today, we get to see. We get to celebrate this demonstration right here in front of God and all of us of the commitment that these men and women and children have made and the difference that Jesus has made in their lives. So I'm excited for Baptism Sunday. I love it. If y'all know you're in the splash zone up here, so just beware. These towels are not for you. You chose to sit there, so we're gonna celebrate in just a few moments. I want to read a passage of scripture from Galatians chapter 3 that I think is a very... You've probably read it 100 times, or maybe this is the first time you've ever heard it, but it's a very simple look at what Jesus does for us. When we talk about life change, we're talking about being changed from the inside out. We're talking about being what Jesus called being born again, being given new life, raised from death unto life. And the Bible calls it salvation. Everybody say salvation. We're rescued. Because the Word of God teaches us that Jesus rescues us. But also the Word of God teaches that not only does Jesus rescue us, but He also redefines us. He gives us a whole new picture of what living for Him looks like. Yes, in salvation, by grace through faith, we receive eternal life. We receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. But also we receive a new identity as children of God. Let me read the text for us this morning. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Paul writes to churches in Galatia to clarify their confusion about the gospel, and this is what he says. He says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." You are all children of God through what?
Faith.
Not by works, not by performance. Pastor Tim has been leading us in this current series, Once for All, showing us that Jesus does it all. But we become children of God by faith. Verse 27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Today we celebrate the gospel, the good news. We rejoice in what Christ has done in the lives of these people and in our own lives, because Christ has not only rescued us, but He has redefined us. First of all, the Bible says that He gives us a new identity. He makes us children of God. And so this morning I want to remind you that we are children of God by faith. We live in a world where our performance is measured all the time. In fact, we live in a world where sometimes if you're not careful, you will begin to see your value and your relationships based upon your performance. If I ask the students, "Are you a good student?" Some of them might say, "Yes," but they might say, "Well, I got a GPA that starts with a 1. And so they might, you know, based on that performance, right, it's a dangerous place to be when you start placing value on your performance. If I said, "Are you a good employee?" you would say, "Well, I've brought such and such business to the company. I haven't been fired yet, so sure," right? Based on performance. But listen very carefully. God does not God does not create your status based upon your performance. Your standing with God is not based upon your merit, upon your ability, upon your performance. Your stance with God is determined by your faith and by your faith alone. So I want to ask you, are you a child of God? And if you are, you are a child of God because of faith. This morning, we're even going to celebrate one of the ordinances that Jesus commanded us to celebrate, this ordinance of baptism. Now, and some people might look at what's happening here and think, well, do I have to get baptized to go to heaven? I got to do it. Listen, no, these people are not getting baptized to be rescued. They're getting baptized because they've been rescued. Is everybody following me? As many of you have been baptized into Christ, have been clothed with Christ. And that's what the Word of God says. Baptism shows that we are clothed with Christ. Verse 27, all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself. Baptism is the outward demonstration of an inward transformation that's already taken place. It's like putting on a uniform. When you consider yourself being clothed with Christ, it's like putting on a uniform. Yesterday, me and JR had a chance to go take in some preseason FC Dallas football. Well, soccer, sorry. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but we're going to talk about soccer. How about that? Yeah. The most important sport, a real sport. I'm just joking. I just like to jab a little bit here and there. So we're watching our team play, and we're trying to learn new players, got new players, trying to read their names on the back of the jerseys, and I'm asking JR, who's that? And JR's asking me, who's that? And once the game gets started, it's a blur, right? There's people running everywhere. You can't tell who's who, but here's what I did know. I knew who was on my team. I knew who was on my team because of the uniform they were wearing, and I knew that they were playing all together, united because of what they had put on. That's what it's like being in the family of God. That's what baptism does. It puts on the uniform of Jesus. It lets the world know that I'm not identified with anything else, but I'm identified as a child of God. And I'm not afraid to put on the uniform of Christ. You've been clothed with Christ by faith. That means his righteousness covers us. It means his life defines us, and it means his name marks us. So if you're in Christ, what used to define you, sin, shame, defeat, condemnation, all those things that used to define us are washed away in the blood of Christ, having been united with Jesus in faith. In a few minutes, we're going to celebrate baptism, and we're going to see these people come through the baptistry waters, and as they do, what they're doing is demonstrating that I no longer wear my identity, but I belong to Christ. This morning, I want to ask you, can you say that about yourself? Can you say that about your life? Can you say, I'm not wearing my identity? When I go into my home, when I go into work, when I go into school, I'm wearing the uniform of Jesus. When we put on Christ, it really does define us. It really shapes the way we think. Sometimes we can't go where we want to go clothed in Christ. Sometimes we get into situations where God calls us to courage or humility or integrity and authenticity. And wearing the uniform of Christ means it shapes the way we respond in every situation. So are you clothed with Christ? I can tell you in a few minutes there's going to be 41 people who come through here, and we're going to celebrate because they've been clothed with Christ. I no longer wear my identity because I belong to Christ. The Bible tells us a third thing about being united with Christ, and it has to do with labels. I don't know if you caught this. This is probably the verse that gives me the most goosebumps. It's so powerful because here's what Paul says in verse 28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I want you to consider for just a minute all the all the labels that you wear, all the labels maybe that have been affixed to you. Since I can't pass the microphone, I'll tell you. I'll tell you about me. Here's my labels. I'm a man, right? I'm a white man. Boy, am I white. I'm an American, right? I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a grandpa. Although my grandpa name is not grandpa, it is Pep. Can y'all just say Pep? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Thank you. That makes me feel so much better. Nothing against the pawpaws and the grandpas, but just need a name that's, you know. My labels. I'm a runner. I'm an executive pastor here at Genesis Metro Church. Thank you. I'm a graduate of Monticello High School, class of 1994. Anybody else graduate in the 90s? Come on, come on. Where are all my Gen Xers at? Yeah. Yeah, I'm an alumnus of Texas Baptist Institute and Seminary. I'm proud of that, you know. A lot of things, a lot of labels. But I want you to notice the text. Paul says, in Christ, those labels, they're not ignored, but they're redefined. And they're given less importance than what we put on them. So I want you to see something that only Jesus can do, only God can do. Through the beauty of the New Testament church, this is something powerful. It's the fact that this room can be full of people from every walk of life, every kind of ethnicity, every kind of socioeconomic status, every kind of story of desperation and brokenness. And in this one place, we can all gather together and we can be united in Christ. And it's not that those identities are not important, but it's the fact that our identity in Jesus supersedes every other label that we might have. Only in Jesus can a church become united for the cause of Christ. And when you look at a New Testament church, you can say, well, that's not a white church. That's not a black church. That's not an American church. That's not a Republican church or a Democrat church. You say, this is the Lord's church. Jesus paid the highest price, the price of his blood, to bring us into his family and to bring us into this place. That's the power of Christ. That's what baptism symbolizes. The beauty and the power to free us from the labels that once defined us. At the foot of the cross, and in this room, no one is superior. No one is excluded in Christ. No one is invisible in Christ, because we've identified ourselves with him. And our identity in him is the most important. So in a few minutes, when these baptismal candidates come through, they're going to be declaring by their actions that my worth is not in my status. My worth is not in my past. My worth is not in my success. But my worth is in Christ alone. I hope you can say that about yourself today. I hope you can cast off the labels that have been affixed to you. And not to minimize, not to say that differences are not important, but to say that. Are we good? All right. Not to say that differences are not important. The gospel does not erase differences. But the gospel does remove their power to define us. The gospel removes the power of our differences to divide us. We may not agree on everything, but you know what we can't agree on? The most important thing. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who rescues us from sin. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died and was buried and rose again to give us new life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who established not a hospital, not a charity organization. He established a church to carry out the gospel message to the far reaches of the globe. That's our mission. That's who we are, and we can agree on that. And when we celebrate baptism in a few minutes, what we're going to be celebrating is that every person who comes through here has a testimony that says, before Jesus, I was lost, but then I was found. Because of Jesus, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Because of Jesus, I was defined by my failure and my sin and my shame, but because of Jesus, I'm defined as a child of God. Before Jesus, I was isolated, but now I'm surrounded by a family who loves me. And so I want to ask you this morning, does Jesus define you? Does Jesus define you? Have you trusted in Christ and the work he did for you as your Savior? Have you bowed the knee to him? Have you sought forgiveness from God through the atoning work of Jesus? Because if you haven't, today's the day. Now is the time. Right now is the moment. You've heard what Jesus has done. You've heard what he can do. The only question is, will I bow down to King Jesus? Will I ask him into my life? Will I serve him as my Lord and as my Savior? Will I allow him to wash away all the other labels so that I can be identified as his child? And will I join arms with my brothers and sisters in Christ and change the world for the glory of Christ? Let's pray. So God, you are good and you are faithful and you are gracious and you are merciful and you are kind. We don't deserve anything good, but the good stuff that we do have, the goodness that we do celebrate, we give you all the credit for because you showed your mercy to us. You were patient towards us. You were gracious towards us. You didn't have to, but you saved us. You didn't have to, but you sent your son to die for our sins. And so we lift up the name of Jesus. We boldly declare that in Christ and in Christ alone, we place our faith. In Christ and in Christ alone, we find who we are and who we were meant to be. In Christ and in Christ alone, Genesis Metro stands as a beacon of light in this community that reaches across the globe. And we see life change after life change after life change. Not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.